Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you after a 6-0 loss to the Diamondbacks in what was a rematch, at least a starting pitching rematch of the 2023 World Series. Game 5 in particular, same pitchers, Evo versus Gallen, and it did not go the Rangers' way this time at Chase Field. A lot of great memories at that stadium. I'm sure a lot of Rangers loved reminiscing being back at that park, but tonight was not their night. Needless to say, and we're going to get into it here in just a second. All the scoring, mostly for the Diamondbacks, all for the Diamondbacks, actually. The box score, some of the highlights, some of the talking points. We're going to look ahead to the rest of the week as well. This is a real short series with the Diamondbacks. 2-game set, finishing up tomorrow. And we're excited about Jacob deGrom, Kumar Rocker, those debuts for sure. We're going to get into those topics and more. Take your questions, your comments. Appreciate y'all tuning in tonight. Course here right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers, and especially the Rangers during baseball season. This was not a pretty one. It's one of those ugly ones, but rain or shine, win or loss, we are here bringing you the best post-game analysis when it comes to the Texas Rangers. So let's buckle up and have some fun. First of all, Nate Eovaldi trying to get that innings threshold to activate that $20 million player option. Looks like he's probably going to get it. And the long ball was an issue for Evo tonight. And it has been at different times in the season. Really, beyond the long ball, it was a pretty well-pitched game for him. Walker took him deep, I believe, a couple of different times. I know Jock Peterson went back-to-back with Walker early on in the game. It definitely was not Evo's sharpest start. That being said, anytime your offense puts up 0 runs, it's hard to get on the pitcher. But when you give up the runs early, anytime the Rangers sacrifice the lead early on in the game, it does feel tough for them to dig out of a hole. They have played the comeback kid role a little bit more of late, but I will say it feels like the recipe this year has always been Rangers score early, dominant starting pitching performance, and then you go from there to Robertson and to Yates and you close out the game. That formula has changed a little bit here in September and maybe even in late August. But when the D-backs jump out to a 4-0 lead in the third inning, it's not feeling super likely that a comeback is on the horizon. The Rangers have definitely surprised us in a few different games over the last couple of weeks when they've been down. But Zach Gallen really has dominated the Rangers the past couple of times that he's faced us. World Series Game 5, I mean, that was a dominant performance from Gallen. Until the little Corey Seager cue ball shot. Maybe cue ball is a little bit unfair to Corey. I mean, look, he got it where he needed to. He put it where they weren't. And from there, the floodgates kind of opened in that Game 5. Of course, ending with the Rangers hosting the World Series Championship Trophy. But Zach Gallen, I feel, has definitely been a guy that shut down the Rangers more often than not. He is a very, very good pitcher. There's not a lot of shame in losing to a guy like Gallen. The ERA, a little bit up for his standards, 3.55. I mean, look, it's a very good ERA, don't get me wrong. But you'd expect Gallen to be a little bit more, I think, in the low threes, maybe even potentially crossing into that sub-3 threshold. But look, nevertheless, a great pitcher, a guy that can go out and put up this kind of performance when needed. He has not given up a run in his past 11 innings. He pitched 6 shutout innings against San Francisco in the Bay Area on the 4th, and then today goes 5 innings, no earned runs, 7 Ks, 15 Ks over his last 11 innings. Zach Gallen is definitely on one of those heaters, and I think the Rangers just ran into the wrong guy tonight. There were a couple of bright spots. We're definitely going to try and highlight those for you, but tonight the Rangers' bats ultimately go quiet in a 6-0 loss. I do want to get some comments here. I'm seeing a few coming in. From both TikTok and then also on YouTube. What's up to everybody, by the way? Late night, right on Rangers. We've got, let's see, 11:56 Texas time here. It's still early out here on the West Coast. Of course, the Rangers playing in Arizona, a 6:40 p.m. start time for me here in Vegas. So that is kind of nice for me, but it's late out in Texas. So we'll try and keep this to the point tonight and not go on too long. But thank you again to everybody tuning in. I appreciate y'all very much. Again, I'll try and keep track of comments and questions as we go along. Natalie, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. Langford was good tonight on the bright spot on offense. Got a little worried he got hurt. Yeah, I would say Langford tonight, you know, maybe it was Zach Gallen and just the unfamiliarity with Langford. Langford, not a guy that Gallen had faced in the World Series or last season, of course, with Wyatt being a rookie this year. So maybe that newness factor was there. Josh Smith, actually the only other Ranger to get a hit tonight. Three lowly hits for the Texas Rangers, and Wyatt Langford had two of them from the three spot tonight. Everyone else 0 for. Rangers struck out 13 times tonight. Almost half of the outs in this game by the Rangers were strikeouts. You're just not going to get a lot accomplished doing that. The Rangers were 0 for 2 with runners in scoring position. So they did get close a couple of times. And look, who knows what happens when you get that first run. Sometimes that is all you need. But the Rangers leave 6 on base tonight. Diamondbacks left 7 on base and were 1 for 9 with runners in scoring position. So this one could have been a lot uglier. The Rangers did do a decent job limiting the damage when runners did get on base. Obviously, in the bottom of the 8th inning, gets a little bit out of control there. Festa comes in, gives up a couple of runs. Garabito gets one out to kind of stop the bleeding once and for all. Pennington came in, I thought, and had a nice performance, an inning and a third, one walk. You'll take that from him every time. I mean, quietly, Walter Pennington ERA is only 2.03. Not bad. I mean, for Pennington, a guy who really is just getting his first taste of major league action this year, I can't be mad at it. It feels like he should have a worse ERA at this point. I mean, just being honest, it feels like the ERA should be worse for Pennington, but dude's hanging strong right now. So those are probably the two bright spots out of the pen for me, Pennington, Garabito, even though Garabito only goes a third of an inning in this one. Look, not necessarily an easy spot coming in a game where it's out of hand already. It's unlikely that you're going to get a win, but Garabito in that situation, bottom of the 8th inning, you had a runner on, runner on second, I believe there was at that time, possibly one other runner on. Sorry, it's late. My mind's leaving me a little bit, but gets Corbin Carroll to strike out swinging. Carroll has had a little bit of a down year, not quite the guy that he was last year, but still impressive for Garabito, not a guy that's known for a ton of swing and miss. To be able to get a strikeout in that spot, absolutely huge. I would love to see Garabito more. I know there's only a couple weeks left and the Rangers really aren't playing, you know, competitive baseball in the sense of playing for October, playing for playoffs, that kind of thing. But I definitely would like to see Garabito get more opportunities so the Rangers can really make a determination whether or not he's going to be a guy that they can keep in the long-term plans. I feel like you've got a good beat on quite a few guys in this bullpen. And I think the Rangers are going to have to do a lot of retooling in the offseason, especially depending on whether or not David Robertson and the Rangers exercise the mutual option. I told y'all, I think a couple of days ago, I was actually really, really surprised to figure out. I didn't know, which I'm pretty good with the contracts, but I thought David Robertson was kind of a one-year deal, but it's actually a mutual option that Robertson and the Rangers have, so both sides would have to agree. I think it's a $6 million. That might be Chafin's number, $6 million. I think it's a decent number for Robertson if they do exercise the option. So Robertson, I feel like I've read a couple of different times, has enjoyed his time in Texas. Hopefully that's a guy that they can work out the option with, or if the number isn't what David Robertson wants it to be, maybe he and the Rangers can work out some alternative deal. I think that's another thing that could be on the table. But I think the Rangers, by and large, are going to have to do some tweaking. I don't think that they're going to be able to trot out the same lineup, the same band. Kirby Yates, don't know if he's going to be coming back. I'd imagine that he is going to try and get a pretty penny in the offseason with what he's done this year closing games. There's definitely a team, I think, that's going to be interested, willing to throw some money at him. Again, if he's a guy that loves the culture in Texas, loves the team, loves the teammates, then maybe we could get him for some kind of reasonable deal. But a lot of these guys, you can't blame them, especially the guys that are in their 30s. You've got to go get that money while you can. Things can start falling off the wheels, falling off the axle quickly. So I absolutely am not going to have any hate or any disdain for guys wanting to go elsewhere. I get it. I absolutely get it. So we'll see what the Rangers do with the bullpen. I'm very, very curious. We'll have to see what happens. But right now, I like what I see from Garabito. I like what I've seen from Pennington. Like I said, the eye test doesn't feel amazing, but the numbers are good. 203, and today he goes scoreless except for the one walk, zeros across the board. Not bad. Festa, and not sure if the Rangers are going to be bringing him back for 2025 with the 8-10 ERA. That is brutal. Absolutely brutal. And tonight, Festa gets lit up again. Look, for me, it's 4-0. I think that that probably is an appropriate spot to actually put Festa in the game. 4 is a big number. It was still, what, the 7th inning when he came in? So it's not a foregone conclusion. The Rangers get a couple of runs in the 7th or the 8th. Who knows? So I understand Festa coming in. For me, anytime it's close, anytime it's less than 5 runs and you've still got a few innings to work with, I'd probably prefer not to see guys that have 8-10 ERAs come into the game. Anytime you can, with one swing of the bat, tie the game, bases loaded, grand slam, I probably would pause putting a guy in with this high of an ERA that has not been good of late. That being said, with where the Rangers are at right now in the standings, where they're at right now in the season, I get it. And you've got a game tomorrow. You've got an entire weekend series in Seattle with the Mariners coming up. You know that DeGrom especially is probably not going to be going a ton of innings in his debut on Friday. Kumar Rocker, not sure how many innings he's going to be able to go. So you assume that on Thursday, Friday in Seattle, the Rangers are probably going to have to use some bullpen pieces. So I think all those things factor into the decision to throw Festa out there tonight. Personally, I'd rather just have seen Garabito finish the last inning in 2/3, save Festa for another day. But I think they're probably wanting to use Garabito in the weekend series, if I had to guess. Well, let me go ahead and check things out here with comments. Again, appreciate all y'all tuning in. It's a late show tonight, but appreciate y'all. We're hanging out. It wasn't a pretty game for the Rangers tonight, but you know what? Rain or shine, we're here. We're going to finish these 162 games out. We're going to get it done because we made it this far. Game 145 tonight. We're not quitting now. We're not trying to quit right now. We're going to make it all 162. And I appreciate all y'all that have been doing the same thing too. Hanging. Some of y'all have probably done 100 plus of these with me, and I can't thank you enough. So let's talk about a few other things here, and then we're going to put a bow on this game and move on to tomorrow. So in the box score, a couple other notables. We did have Josh Jung and Nate Lowe, both runners left in scoring position with 2 outs. Guys just not coming through in the clutch tonight, unfortunately. We had probably Wyatt Langford as the sole bright spot offensively, also added 2 stolen bases. Beyond that, like I said, not a pretty night in the box score. The only Ranger that did not strike out tonight was Leody Taveras, who did go 0-for-3, but the only Ranger that did not strike out. And look, this lineup is just going to be a step down without Corey Seager in it. I have not gotten an update on Corey Seager, by the way. I think that the team was kind of hanging on to see if maybe some kind of run could happen late and maybe Seager could come back and make a difference in the last couple of weeks. I kind of feel like at this point, unless the Rangers can continue to win at this 2-out-of-3 clip and then just fortunate things happen with the teams above them in the standings, I really feel like Seager is probably going to be done for the year. I think they're really just trying to see if there's any little shred of magic left in this Rangers team in 2024. And maybe if the Rangers, the lead dwindled down to 3 or 4 games back, maybe they think about pushing Corey back into the starting lineup. But I can't see it happening if they keep hanging around this 5-6 spot. So no update to answer this question. No update on Seager. I'm looking at news stories right now, and it doesn't really look like there's been any information provided about him that's notable. The last thing that's really been said is he has a hip issue. It might end his season. I think the Rangers are just biding their time. Again, trying to see if maybe the Rangers get back within 3 or 4 games of the wild card or the division. It's not super likely with 17 games left, but at the same time, crazier things have happened. I'm not holding my breath. I've been very clear about that from the beginning of, I would say, August. I feel like I've been pretty much saying it's not likely, but you never know. You just never know. Rangers right now, today, 7 games out, 7.5 games out of the West, 7 games out of the wild card. And really, I mean, there's been a lot of fortuitous things going on with the wild card race. The Rangers were 6 games out of the wild card going into play today. The Twins had lost 3 or 4 in a row. The Twins are clinging on to that last wild card spot in the American League. Today, the Astros lost. The Mariners lost. Would have been a great day to gain ground on both of those teams. So Rangers not able to get it done today. But I will say this, you win tomorrow, and today it is what it is. In a 2-game series, yeah, a 2-game sweep would be awesome. The Rangers got that done earlier in the year when they played the Diamondbacks in Arlington. They got the 2-game sweep. That was when the Diamondbacks were scuffling a little bit more. But right now, the Diamondbacks are playing really good baseball. I do think getting a win tomorrow, I think you call that a day. Like, meaning, I think you'll take the win there. You'll take 1 out of 2. In Arizona before you go to a 4-game set in Seattle with the Mariners. I think that's kind of the big boy. That's kind of the big series of the week. I'm not saying the Rangers are doing any overlooking of this Diamondback series. You got to win games at this point if you want any chance to make it fun down the stretch. But I do think that if you just can win tomorrow, goes a long way. And then as you look at the week as a whole, you don't have as much pressure in the Mariners series. You win one. If you were to split the Mariners series, you still had a positive week as a whole. I think you'll take that. If you were to split and in the Mariners series and split Diamondbacks, it'd be a 3-2 week. Look, that's a positive for the Rangers. With how poorly they played down the stretch in August, right now you'll just take them not losing series. So they've won 4 series in a row. Could be coming to, obviously, a halt this week. I mean, I don't know. Look, if you count the split as not winning a series, like the streak's over, I guess, kind of a harsh way for it to end if you ask me. But look, I mean, not losing series at this point, I think, is huge. Positives to build off of for 2025. So that's my mindset, at least going into these final 17 games or so. Now, for tomorrow, I think it's probably best for us to move on. If you want to talk anything else tonight's game, feel free to put it in the comments or the chat. I would be happy to get into it. Notables on the other side. Again, we talked about Christian Walker, 2 bombs tonight. We talked about Jock Peterson going yard in the bottom of the 8th inning. You had Herrera with the ground rule double driving in a run. You had Pavin Smith doubling to Doley out there in right field to score a run. So look, definitely Diamondbacks guys continuing to hit the ball well. They lit up Justin Verlander on Sunday night in Sunday Night Baseball. I love seeing that, by the way. I love seeing Verlander get lit up by the D-backs in Houston a couple of nights ago in the Sunday night game. And look, I've said it a number of times, not to get off on the Astros, but I do think the Astros are probably going to be facing this issue when they get into the postseason. I can only imagine they're going to be there. Just don't know if they have the pitching to make it happen. I know there's been some Astros hype, and I just read an article about how a lot of people are pumping up the Astros, betting them to win it all. I am a little bit skeptical, and I'm definitely a lot biased, by the way, clearly. But I just don't think the Astros have what it takes pitching-wise. JV could turn it on and flip a switch and be incredible in the postseason, but he is absolutely not looking like himself right now. ERA over 5. Valdez, very, very good. They've got him. They've got a couple other guys that have been pitching pretty well. Beyond Valdez, not sure they have that ace, though, that 1-2 punch that you really need in a postseason to make a legitimate run. We'll see what happens in the playoffs. It's a completely different animal. Look at what the Rangers did last year, so we'll see. But enough about the Astros. It was just nice watching the Diamondbacks beat up on them. Makes losing to the Diamondbacks tonight a little bit easier. I don't know about you. But tomorrow, look, I believe day game tomorrow. And we shall see if the Rangers can get out of town with a win. Tomorrow's game, we're going to bring you the pitching preview here in a sec. We are going to also go through the opposing lineup, how they fare against our starting pitcher. And we'll do the same thing with the Diamondbacks as well. That's kind of the plan. Real quick, I'm going to go to TikTok comments. I see y'all dropping a few in there. So thank you so much, by the way. Makes the show more fun for sure. Although I think, as y'all can tell, I can go on for a while. Rangers championship is all I needed. Look, that's my perspective too. I'm not trying to excuse the season. I'm totally good that they you know, have just absolutely sucked at times this year. I'm not trying to say that. What I am trying to say is you keep the big perspective. They just won a World Series. There hasn't been a team to repeat a World Series championship since the Yankees at the turn of the century. So I can't be too mad. I don't like how the Rangers season unfolded this year. I think making the playoffs would have been nice. Did they need to win it all again for it to be a successful season? I don't think so. It would have been great. It would have been phenomenal if they could have gone on another run. But with that being said, I think just the fact that right now you're under 500 and it's not even really particularly interesting with making the playoffs down the stretch, a lot would have to fall the Rangers' way. You just wish there was a little bit more drama at the end of the season, especially considering how much you had last year and how entertaining October and November were was for Texas. So, by the way, back to tomorrow. Game time is going to be at 2:40 Texas time, 12:40 my time out here in Vegas. We'll be facing Merrill Kelly, a guy that shut us down in game two of the World Series last year in Arlington. Fortunately, we have Cody Bradford on the bump opposing. Bradford has been incredible this season. I will say this, Cody Bradford, not quite the same dominating pitcher away from Globe Life Field. The splits are not great on the road versus at home. I'll show you what I mean in a second here, but Cody Bradford at home this year, he has a 2.57 ERA. On the road, a 4.85 ERA. Now, he's only started two games on the road compared to eight games at home. So he's just so happened to hit a lot of the home series, but he's going to be pitching on the road in this one. Maybe with only a two-game sample size, it's unfair to say he struggles away from home. So I do want that disclaimer to be in there. But nevertheless, you do kind of wonder if there's a little bit of a thing or something to that. Now, playing the other side of it, he has a 1.64 ERA in two day games this year. So maybe the day game thing can outweigh the away from Globe Life Field thing. That's what we're going to go with for tomorrow. But yeah, Merrill Kelly for tomorrow, that's going to be a tough one. Merrill Kelly is a very, very good pitcher. Like I said, shut down the Rangers in game two of the World Series in Arlington last year. I have a lot of respect for Merrill Kelly. This year, the stats are not incredible for him. So I think he has an ERA over four, if I'm not mistaken. Let's take a look at how Kelly has fared in his last few starts. I think that's kind of a better indication in a 162-game season. Little bit of a better indication of how a pitcher is going. And then after we look at Merrill Kelly's last few starts, we will check out how each opposing lineup has fared. Not a lot of numbers in the regular season, so the numbers that I've got for you are not going to include game two of the World Series last year. I guess I could pull up that box score and let you know if anybody hit well off of him. But I think, if I remember, maybe Mitch Garver had a home run off of him. Obviously, Garv not on the team anymore. But it was one of those games where the bats fell quiet. Last three for Merrill Kelly of the Diamondbacks. He's just coming off a start in San Francisco. 7 innings, 2 earned runs. Against the Dodgers, 5 1/3, 4 earned runs. And against Boston, 6 innings, 4 earned runs. So last time out against the Giants was pretty good. Little bit of a mixed bag after that. So we'll see. Last 7 games, 4.81 ERA. Maybe this can be the day that the Rangers get a little revenge on Kelly for that game two shutdown that he had. Now, I will go ahead and check out that game two box score. Game two World Series 2023. That ought to do it. Only 3 games behind Seattle. Victor, what's up, man? By the way, if you're still tuned in. Yeah, I definitely think the Seattle series is going to determine whether or not the Rangers even have a shot. If the Rangers can win 3 out of 4 up in Seattle, it's going to be pretty interesting. I do think they need the Twins and some teams ahead of them to lose, obviously, in order for them to really, really make things dramatic late. But I think the Seattle series is going to be kind of the deciding factor where we collectively agree it's over or we continue to hold on to the thread of hope that is left in this 2023 season of making the playoffs. So we'll see. Big weekend series in Seattle. At minimum, play some spoiler, right? Seattle technically ahead of us in the wild card race, a better shot than we have at making the playoffs right now. Play spoiler. Sweep them. Go 3 out of 4. That's what I'd like to see from the Rangers. Let's have some fun, create some fun moments, knock off some teams that are trying to make the playoffs that have a better chance than we do. If we can't make the playoffs, nobody can. That's the mentality right now that you've got to have. So in the Diamondbacks, game two versus the Rangers, Merrill Kelly on the bump. Box score went like this. Marcus Semien was 1-for-4. Evan Carter was 1-for-3. Mitch Garver had the home run, so I was right on that one. Josh Young was 1-for-3 as well. Josh Young was hitting eighth in that game, too. Isn't that crazy? Josh Young was hitting eighth. Nate Lowe was seventh. Leody ninth. Jonah Heim sixth. Garver fifth. Dolie, Carter, Seager, Semien. It's fun looking at this lineup. It just is. Jordan Montgomery started that game. Wasn't his best start. I think he allowed like 4 quick runs. But look, not a lot of hits for the Rangers that night. They had 4 hits total. So Merrill Kelly absolutely shut them down that night. And I hope that the Rangers can get some revenge on him moving forward here. Now for tomorrow's game, the only guys that have regular season numbers against Kelly, Nate Lowe, 1-for-2 in his career. Semien, 1-for-3 versus Kelly in his career. And Jankowski, 0-for-1. On the flip side against Bradford, Randall Grichuk, 2-for-3. Suarez is 1-for-1 with a home run. That's it. So 4 at-bats collectively from the Diamondbacks against Bradford. And let's see, 6 at-bats collectively against Merrill Kelly in the regular season. Obviously, the Rangers faced him in the postseason. So we shall see. We shall see what tomorrow holds. Again, that's going to be a 1:35 start time. So a little bit early. I always like day games. I say that every time. I just like having something to kind of distract me during the day. Just kind of fun to keep up with it. Kind of breaks up the day, makes it go a little faster. So Diamondbacks, Rangers, last game of this quick 2-game set before the Rangers head up to Seattle for a 4-game set with the Mariners, Cody Bradford versus Merrill Kelly. Let's check out the comments, and then we are going to start wrapping things up, y'all. I'll go through the MLB headlines of the day, go through the notable ones, at least the ones that I find amusing, and then I'll make sure I didn't leave anybody out with comments or questions. But let's go to the comments real quick before we get into headlines. Natalie says, Rangers need to get a DH, a fourth outfielder in the offseason. I absolutely think that a fourth outfielder needs to be a big priority. First baseman, I think, would be nice as well. They just need to improve the lineup, and they can't go out and just get somebody kind of run-of-the-mill veteran type. No disrespect, but we can't settle for a Robbie Grossman signing in free agency. Like, that type of dude, that is a bona fide bench guy, platoon guy. We need a guy that can start every day in the outfield. That's what I want to see. That's what I hope to see the Rangers go out and get. I think it would be wise to go out and get that fourth outfielder and also consider what you can get in terms of a first baseman. Pete Alonso is going to be the big name. I don't think the Rangers are going to be in on him, but I do think that there are a few other guys that might potentially be okay or at least fair with the price that the Rangers would be able to insert into the lineup, maybe platoon with Nate Lowe. I'm not a big fan at this point of seeing Nate Lowe do a 162-game season again next year. I really would like to see them platoon him a little bit. Don't know what the Nate Lowe splits are. That would be the one thing I would kind of be interested in seeing. So let's look it up right now. The Nate Lowe splits, looking for lefties versus righties. Like, if there's any point to even platooning him or if he's about the same either way. So against lefties, he's actually hitting 290. So, I mean, it's a smaller sample size, 107 at-bats against lefties versus 318 against righties. He's actually hitting much better against lefties than righties, ironically. 290 average against lefties, 395 OBP against lefties, and then a 252 batting average against righties and a 344 OBP. Look, again, more at-bats against righties, so you kind of get it, but definitely ironic that he's got a better batting average and OBP. An OBP of almost 400 against lefties. Look, nevertheless, personally, I still want to see somebody challenge Nate Lowe rather than trotting him out there for 162 games. I just think you could be getting a lot more pop power out of that first base position. Just my opinion. I'm seeing some comments on TikTok here. Let me get to them. Mitch Garver has been clutch in Seattle. What? I don't know about that. Victor, I don't know about that. Mitch Garver, I think, has had a pretty bad season in Seattle. Last time I checked, he was hitting under 200. Maybe he got over the Mendoza line. But Mitch Garver is 168. Maybe that was sarcasm. It's hard to tell sometimes running through these comments quick. I hope that was sarcasm. Dude's hitting 168. He does have 12 homers, 46 RBI, but hitting 168 is Garv Sauce. I would not call that clutch. I'm actually kind of glad the Rangers did not bite on that. I think the Rangers maybe could have brought him back as a DH type, but I think that they did well. They accepted that they got a career year out of Garver last year. Did not think that he'd be willing or able, to repeat it. And the Rangers were right on that gamble. They weren't right on a couple others this season that we've talked about, but not re-signing Garver, that was a good move. Would love to see Evan Carter versus Arizona. That would be fun. Evan Carter, of course, on the IL right now, 60-day IL with back issues. So, yeah, it would be fun to see him back in the stadium, though, no doubt. Reaper Company, appreciate the follow. Thank you so much. That means a lot. And if any of y'all are watching, not followed or subscribed yet to the channel, we'll greatly appreciate you hitting that follow or subscribe button. We pretty much put out content of some kind out there every day. We do a lot of Rangers baseball and a lot of MLB during baseball season, but we do football, college football. We do NFL. Obviously, we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from Texas. I'm from the DFW area originally, grew up in Arlington. So Rangers, Cowboys, Mavericks, Longhorns, those are the core four that I cover here on the channel. But I love talking sports in general. We talk a lot of SEC football. We talk a lot of NFL topics from all around the league, really. We do the same thing on Right on Rangers Live, Rangers style at the end of every show. So we're going to do that right now, actually. We're going to check out some highlights, some different news from around the league real quick, see if there's anything notable. Let's see. Benches clear in Phillies win over the Rays. Machado breaks Padres home run record that lasted half a century. I'm going to see what that's all about here in a second. Manny Machado, let's see here. Moving in past slugger Nate Colbert into the top spot. So is that total home runs in Padres history? Yep, sure is. So Manny Machado is now the career leader for the Padres in home runs. That's a pretty big deal. You lead a team in home runs. I mean, all time in the franchise, that is a huge, huge deal. You wonder if maybe Tatis will rival him a little bit at some point, but good for Manny. Yamamoto dazzles with 8 Ks in 4-inning return. Man alive. That Dodgers team, look, the pitching is a little bit suspect, but I feel like that Dodgers team is going to make a run. Ohtani in the playoffs, look, I'm a little bit Ohtani fatigued, if you're with me on that one. But I got to say, I love watching the guy play, and I think it's going to be really fun seeing him in October for once. So now that he's not with the Angels out of the AL West, I feel like I can root for him a little bit more. So I'm excited to see Ohtani playoffs. I can't say like I'm going to love the Dodgers winning at all, but I do think the Dodgers are going to have a really good shot at it. I think Phillies, you know, Diamondbacks, some of those teams are going to give them some good competition, give them a run for their money, but I've said all along, I like the Dodgers and I like the Orioles to make it to the World Series. Haven't picked a winner between those two yet, but that's my pick, at least right now. So let's keep going here. Judge Lindor accomplished rare feat. Let's see what this is all about. It only happened a dozen times, but it could happen this year. The MVP for both the American and National Leagues coming from the same metropolitan area. So both MVPs from New York. That's the big thing that's never happened. All right. Let me see here. Mullins provides momentum swing. This is an Orioles headline. It's two-homer game Titans AL East race. What's the AL East doing right now? The Yankees are up by a half game right now in the AL East. All right, then. That is going to be a tight finish for the American League East crown. Look, I don't know. I'm kind of torn on whether or not first place in a division really matters after what the Rangers did. You know what I mean? Like the Rangers, they barely snuck into the playoffs in a wild card spot, just ran the table. They didn't get that 5-6 day off. And remember, there was a lot of noise in the postseason last year, kind of some whining, complaining, excuse making. Oh, the teams with the bye, they had too much time off and they were cold. You know, it was just ridiculous to me. I thought it was the sorriest excuse I've ever heard, because leading up to the postseason, everybody was trying to get the bye. Everybody was trying to get it. Nobody was like, no, let's not get the bye. Let's keep playing. Let's keep playing more games. Forget the bye. Let's try to get the wild card. Nobody was saying to do that at the end of last season. Everybody was trying to get the bye. And so I think at this point, I don't really know if it matters to get that division title. I mean, it's an accomplishment, but you might be better off at this point, in my opinion. You might be better off just going ahead and being okay with wild card, getting to play all the way through. I know you got to use more of your pitchers, but I think it worked actually really, really well for the Rangers. Victor, appreciate all the gifts, by the way, my friend. Thank you so much. Means a lot. Appreciate you. Thank you for watching the show. All the comments, the likes. Appreciate it, man. Very grateful. Thanks again. So let's keep going here. A few more headlines to go through, and then we're going to call it a night. Harris, a guy the Rangers could have drafted but passed on. We were going through that the other night. Michael Harris, he fuels Braves' big night with 2 home run game. And then we have, let's see, the Twins scoring 10 runs tonight. The headline says, return of the rally sausage cures Twins bats in 10-run outburst. Oh, my gosh. What is this all about? I don't want to watch the video. What is this all about? The rally sausage. Come on now. This can't be a real thing. You got to have to check this out, y'all. The rally sausage. My goodness. Hey, whatever gets you a win, right? Am I right? I mean, look, whatever works, I guess. That is pretty freaking hilarious, the rally sausage. Hey, the Twins get the dub, bring it back out tomorrow night, right? I mean, seriously. Well, all right, y'all, we'll be back tomorrow. Let's see, if it's a 12:40 start for me out in Vegas, probably not going to be able to go live right after the game. I'm thinking maybe middle of the evening, Texas time. So I got a lot of viewers that are from Texas, live in Texas, obviously. It being a Rangers show. So probably like 6, 7 p.m. Texas time, if I had to guess. Don't want to go this late again. Try not to, but you know, it happens when you start on the West Coast out here super late. But I'll try and go maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours after the game goes final. So it's not going to be right after, but we'll see what I can do. Hope you'll come back tomorrow. Let me check comments one last time. I know this has been a while, Natalie, so thanks for your patience on this one. Not sure when Leiter is going to start again. I don't really know if they have announced any type of schedule for him. I'll just see if I can get the pitching matchups. We know what Thursday, Friday is going to be. Rocker and DeGrom Thursday night and Friday night back-to-back. And it does not look like the Rangers have announced the starter for Saturday yet or for Sunday. So that makes sense. I mean, it's pretty rare that teams will go that far out. So all we know right now, Bradford tomorrow, Kumar Rocker on Thursday, Jacob DeGrom on Friday. I'm excited. It's going to be a fun 3 nights of pitching. Bradford and how good he's been. Rocker and how amazing he's been in the minor leagues. And then, of course, Jacob DeGrom, the Rangers ace, the big signing from a couple years ago. I think Jacob DeGrom is going to be all right. I really do. I think a lot of people just kind of trolling, hating, have been throwing a lot of stones at DeGrom and the injury stuff. I do think second Tommy John surgery, I think he's going to be right this time around. And I wouldn't be surprised if he had a nice, healthy run. I'm putting the positive vibes out there right now. I'm speaking this into existence, y'all. We're going to make this happen. A full season of Jacob DeGrom next year. Man, that would be incredible. I'm putting it out there. I really hope it happens. I believe it will. And I think Jacob DeGrom is going to have a strong finish to 2024 as well. This is still one of the best pitchers in the game when healthy. I think some people have forgotten. Although, I'm going to have to look up who it was. Somebody, a non-Rangers player, in the middle of this season still put Jacob DeGrom in their top 5 starting pitchers right now. And I thought that was crazy awesome respect. I'm going to have to look up and see who it was. But that really impressed me. I was like, somebody hasn't forgotten how good Jacob DeGrom is when he's healthy. And I think he is going to show everybody. You don't think that motivates DeGrom a little bit? I do. I think he's seen the reaction. I think a lot of players kind of know what the perception is of them. Some don't care, say they don't care. But I think a lot of the players are motivated by what they hear fly around from fans and media. Personally, I think DeGrom is going to come out on a mission, ready to prove people wrong and show everybody why he's won multiple Cy Youngs and why he's one of and still one of the best pitchers in the game. All right, y'all. Appreciate you guys. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Again, If you're not following, not subscribed to the channel, hit that follow or subscribe button and tell a friend about Ride On Rangers. You know somebody that loves the Rangers, loves baseball, loves Dallas-Fort Worth sports, Rangers, Mavericks, Cowboys, Longhorns, send them my way. We talk football, NFL, college football, NBA. We talk a little college hoops as well. Not quite as much, but little college hoops in there too. This is a really great time of the year. We're really, really appreciative for the support. And hey, while you're at it, hit that notification button. Get notified every time we go live or put out any of our latest and greatest content. Hope you guys have a great rest of your Tuesday night and a great week ahead. Hope to see you tomorrow, if not on the replay. And as I always say to end every show, God bless and go Rangers.